Now, this morning's lesson is titled, From the Heart to the Tongue. Now, the tongue is a wonderful, marvelous instrument. It has many functions. For one, it can be used as a sense organ, and it lets us know, for example, if something is too hot. It's also used to take the food that we chew and to form it into small shapes to easy for us to swallow down. In a man, there is about 9,000 taste buds, which allows us to be able to taste and distinguish between many different flavors. For example, between bitter, salty, or sweet things. Webster Dictionary defines the tongue this way. It says, a flexible, muscular organ in the mouth used in tasting, swallowing, and for speech. This, of course, is a scientific explanation of what the tongue is, but for our purpose this morning, we're going to be examining what the Bible says about the tongue and how it can reflect the intent of someone's heart. I think we have all experienced what happens whenever someone doesn't keep control of their tongue, or we haven't kept control of our tongue. As one person rightly said, many things are open by mistake, but none so frequently as the mouth. James gives us some great details on what the tongue is all about, how powerful it is, and how hard it is to control. Look here in verse number 2. It says, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Here James is pointing out to us that we as Christians, we stumble in many aspects of our life. But if we were able to control our tongue, we would be perfect. And if we were able to control our tongue, then trying to control our body and everything else would be a breeze. So this lets us know just how difficult the tongue is to control. Now look at verse number 3. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Whenever you begin to think about this illustration, it's amazing that such small things could control such big things. Like that little bitty bit, even in a big Clydesdale horse, just barely pull on it, they'll move to the left, barely pull it over to the right, and they'll move to the right. Or a big old ship that can be controlled out on the water and move left or right with that little small rudder. He uses this illustration to begin to point out just how our little member, our little tongue, can control our body as well. And he points this out as he goes on in verse number 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles? And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and a creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of our God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be so. See, the tongue can be used for good and evil. And whenever we fail to control our tongue, it's like a spark that's in a dry forest. It can consume everything within its path. James tells us that man cannot control his tongue. However, it does not say that God cannot. And so what we must do as Christians, we must use God. We must rely upon Him and put His Word into our hearts so that we can learn how to control our tongues. I have seen firsthand many of those who said that they are Christians, and they'll praise God out one side of their mouth, and then out the other side, they'll just hurl out all kinds of foul language, and they will also say hurtful words to people. But just as we read there, these things should not be so. John gives us an example of this in 1 John 4 and verse 20. It says, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? You know, it's one thing to simply praise God, and it's another thing to continue to control your tongue in a righteous way throughout your entire life and around those people or around other people. And just as we see John pointed out here, we cannot praise God with in one side of our mouth and then turn around and say hurtful, mean things to our brethren out the other side of our mouth. Another thing we need to realize about our tongue is that it will eventually express what's truly in our hearts. In most cases, a doctor can look at your tongue and tell whether you are sick or not. Well, the same thing is true with whenever someone is looking at your spiritual life. Because the way that you say things, the way that you use your tongue, can be a direct reflection upon how healthy you are spiritually and how committed you are to following Jesus in His footsteps. You know, Jesus points out that this very same concept, as he began to return back to these people, these Jews had begun to accuse Him of saying that He was casting out demons by the power of Beelzebub. But I want you to notice His response to them here in Matthew 12 and verse 34. It says, "Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things." So the words that come out of our mouth, again, are a reflection of what is found within our heart. And if our heart is not pure, our evil thoughts will eventually be made known. That's why it's important that we learn to bring our thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Later on in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus begins to rebuke the Pharisees and the scribes because they were trying to say that unwashed hands defiles a person. But notice what He tells them here in verse number 11. That it is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth that defiles a person. Now, for whatever reason, Peter didn't quite understand what Jesus was talking about here. So after He had said these things to these Pharisees and scribes, He asked them to explain what He was talking about. And Jesus does this as we look here at verse number 16. And He said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hand does not defile anyone." So again, we can see that the tongue definitely reflects what's in a person's heart. It is up to us whether we use our tongue for good or whether we use it for evil. If we use it for good, the writer of Proverbs tells us this. It says, "Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones." It also says, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver." However, if we choose to use our tongue for evil, again, the writer of Proverbs tells us this. It says, "Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him." Also here in chapter 15 and verse 26, it says, "The thoughts of a wicked are an abomination to the Lord." So we see that we have a free will. We have the ability to choose how we use our tongue. But we must be very careful in how we use our words. And we must understand that we will be judged by the very words that we use in this life. As Jesus points out here in Matthew 12 and verse 36. "But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." So we need to keep this in mind. We need to keep this in the back of our mind every time we begin to try to just let loose of an evil tongue or to begin to speak evil toward people, to realizing that we will be judged for what we have said. Another thing we need to realize about the tongue is how powerful it is the fact that it can make the difference between life and death, both physically and spiritually. Again, the writer of Proverbs 18 and 21 says this, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." An example of how it can bring about physical death can be found in the story in 1 Kings chapter 13, where a man of God is sent to go condemn or to go talk to King Jeroboam, who had begun to set up idols for the children of Israel to worship. And God gives him specific instructions. He tells him, "Do not stop to eat, drink, and do not go back the same way that you came." Well, he went and did this, and he ended up running into this old prophet. And this old prophet begins to ask him to stay. He says, "Why don't you stay here and eat with me at my house?" Well, he tells him, the man of God says, "I can't do that because God said I couldn't." But I want you to notice what this old prophet tells this man of God here in verse 18. He said to him, "I too am a prophet as you are. And an angel spoke to me by the words of the Lord, saying, 'Bring him back with you to your house, that he may eat bread and drink water.' He was lying to him." So this man of God believes this old prophet. He just sat there and is convinced that this man had got this message, this old prophet had gotten this word from God. And so he goes to this house, sits there at his table, and while he's sitting there and probably enjoying his food, then all of a sudden God does speak to this old prophet. And he now tells this man of God, says, "You are now going to die because you disobeyed my word." And sure enough, as the man left the house, it wasn't too far down the trail when a lion attacks and kills him. And this was all because of this misuse of the tongue. And see, this old prophet, because of his lie, and because this man of God was gullible enough to believe it, that it brought about physical death. And so we can see that we should be very careful about how we use our tongue. Paul tells us in Colossians 3 and verse number 9 that we should not lie to one another. And John tells us all those who are called liars, and everyone who loves and whoever practices a lie will all find their part in that fiery place, that fiery brimstone lake of fire. And that's found in Revelation 21 and verse 8, and chapter 22 and verse 15. As you can see, the tongue has the power to make the difference between life and death, both spiritually and both physically. Another thing we learn about the tongue is that it has the power to turn away wrath, or it has the power to stir up anger within someone, as we see here in Proverbs 15 in verse number 1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Remember whenever Jesus was brought before Pilate? And Pilate, he knew that Jesus was innocent. And we know that the chief priest of that time, that they turned Jesus over because they were jealous out of envy, out of strife. Well, as he began to try to plead his case to let Jesus go, and he gave them this choice of who they could let go, well, his thoughts were overrided by this chief priest, because you can read in Mark 15 and chapter and verse number 10 and following, you find out that the chief priests, they use the power of their tongue. They go through the crowd and they begin to stir the crowd against Jesus. They want him to be crucified. And so instead they let go that other criminal, Barabbas. And so we can see just how powerful words can be. We've all probably been guilty of this at some point in our life, of stirring up anger in someone, especially with those that we love or close friends, because we know exactly which buttons to push to make them really angry really fast. That's just something that we know because we know them so well. And we see this, that whenever we begin to do this, that this causes them to become like a pressure cooker. We keep pushing those buttons and they start building up pressure, and then all of a sudden they're going to blow their top. And when they speak out of anger, this is dangerous because this is a sinful anger. They're going to say things that they're going to regret. It's these type of words that can destroy marriages and friendships. And so as Christians, we need to be careful that we try to use our tongue properly and that we do not stir up anger in someone, because the side effects will hurt us and hurt the person that we have stirred the anger up in. So let us never try to stir up anger. Instead, let us learn to always try to answer with a soft answer, to try to turn away wrath. We also learn that the tongue can be used wisely or foolishly. Again, Proverbs 15 and verse number 2. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pour forth foolishness. You know, we should be very careful of what advice that we give. One time, several years ago, I was sitting in a restaurant right next to a couple of ladies, and this lady was telling about how her husband did this, that, or the other. And the other lady said, "Boy, I wouldn't put up with that. I would leave him if he did something like that to me." Well, see, this is the type of advice that can be very damaging to a relationship. This woman may not have known anything else other than this one event, yet she was given this lady advice to break up her marriage, or saying that she wouldn't stay in a marriage like that. Well, how many of us have had people tell us that? How many times have we had a little bit of problems maybe in our marriage, and then someone or friend that's a worldly person, they say, "Well, I wouldn't put up with it. I would just get out of it." Well, we don't need to listen to such advice as that, because the Word of God tells us that a marriage is a lifetime commitment. We need to do our best, if all possible, to make it work out. And so we can see that sometimes if we give bad advice, it can bring about bad results. And so we should be very careful on the advice that we give and the advice that we take. Another misuse of the tongue is whenever we decide to spread gossip. Proverbs 20 and verse number 19 says, "He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets." Sometimes it seems that people have nothing better to do than to go around and tell something about someone or to talk about their faults or things of this nature. I like what one person said or described about gossip. As you see here on the screen, it says, "I am more deadly than a screaming shell from a howitzer. I ruin without killing. I tear down homes. I break hearts and wreck lives. I have no respect for truth or justice, no mercy for the defenseless. You will find me in the pews of the pious and the haunts of the unholy. I am wily, cunning, malicious, and I gather strength with age. I make my way where greed, mistrust, and dishonor are unknown. I feed on good and bad alike. My victims are as numerous as the sand of the sea, and often are innocent. I never forgive and seldom forget. My name is gossip." Isn't that true? Gossip doesn't ever do any good for anybody whenever it's used in a bad way. I learned a long time ago whenever I was in grade school, one of the things that they taught me is whenever we had about 15 kids that were all around in a circle, and they wanted to show us how distorted the truth can become. And so it was just one sentence. They started with this person over here to the right, told him one sentence, and they told us to whisper it in each other's ear as it went through the chain. Well, by the time it got to the last person, the truth was completely gone. There was a whole different message than what it started out with. And that was a great example to show what happens. You see, even whenever you begin to tell someone something, and then if you repeat that, and then someone repeats what you said, it may have started out as truth, but by the time it gets to the end of the chain, it becomes a whole other truth, because someone has added something or someone has left something out. And so we have to be careful to make sure that if someone confides something in us, that we don't go around and just telling everybody about what has happened. However, some people also use this idea of gossip whenever they are jealous or they want to get revenge upon someone. They'll go in and they'll start spreading lies about them. They figure they can hurt their reputation or hurt them in some way by doing this. Again, this is malicious behavior, and it should not be done. No matter how interesting or how harmless a gossip may be, we might end up being a pawn it ended up hurting someone down the line by the things that we are repeating and telling others. Even whenever we have a true story, we have to be sure that if we tell someone, we have to make a good judgment call of whether it's going to benefit in some way. I can think of a couple of examples where we might want to do this. For instance, if someone tells us something and they're needing help with a particular problem, and that's out of our field, we don't know exactly how to help them, but we really want to help that person, then we might go to someone else that has more experience, that's older maybe, or someone that we trust, and we might present the scenario to them so that maybe we can learn from them on how to help that friend or that loved one. Another thing might be is if we learn about someone that's struggling with something, having difficulties, again, we might tell someone so that they can help be an encourager to that person or help get them back to the right direction. But never that it should it be done in a way that's going to cause someone to be hurt. You know, all of these things that we have looked at so far that it has to do on the condition of our heart and how well our heart is doing. So the key to using your tongue for righteousness is to make sure that your heart is pure. Whenever our heart is pure, our thoughts will also be pure. And so that's what we must work on a daily basis, is making sure that we make our hearts pure. Paul emphasizes that we must keep our thoughts under control here in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse number 4. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." This should be every goal, or this should be the every Christian's goal, is bringing all of our thoughts into captivity unto Christ. This is not an easy task, because there are sometimes evil thoughts will come up in our mind and will tempt us to sin. But if we will grow closer to God, stay as close as we can to Him, and have an active prayer life, and allow God's Word to dwell in our hearts, we can even overcome thoughts that come up like this. We must train our minds with the Word of God, and eventually good thoughts will dominate our hearts instead of evil ones. And so we can see again that this takes much training and much prayer on our part. You know, someone once said, "You may not be what you think you are, but you are what you think." And so we see the writer of Proverbs also, he talks about this as well in Proverbs 23 and verse number 7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. And in chapter 4 and verse 23, he says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Jesus also tells us in the Sermon on the Mount that we can commit adultery and murder within our own heart. So again, we can see the importance of making sure that we bring our thoughts into captivity under Christ. How important it is for us to learn how to control our tongue and to use it for righteousness. And again, we can only do that through the power of God. Now next week, we're going to be talking about even more things that the tongue can be used for, both evil and both good. But I hope this lesson this morning has caused you to examine how you've been using your tongue. And if you have found that you've been using your tongue in the wrong way, in an evil way, I hope that you'll make the changes in your life to start using it correctly, to start exercising wisdom and using it in a godly manner. I also hope you have learned how important it is for our hearts to be pure, how important it is for us to stay close to God and to make sure that we let God direct our path by studying His Word, by putting it into our heart and having an active prayer life. And finally, I hope you've learned how powerful the tongue is and how it can make the difference between life and death, both physically and spiritually. That being said, that brings us to the end of our lesson this morning. If there's anyone here that needs the prayers of this congregation, or if there's anyone here that wants to become a child of God, all you have to do is you have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and you have to repent of your old ways of doing things. You have to turn to God, look to His Word, confess Jesus as your Lord. And finally, the Bible tells us that we must be baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins. And then once we do that, once we've accepted God's saving grace, then we must continue to live a faithful life. And we get in this journey of controlling our tongue. If we can serve anybody in any way, please come forward as we stand and sing our invitation song.